You're listening to Packers Talk Network. PackersTalk.com.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
I find myself using all my good jokes in the pre-show, and then all my great jokes, all my bad jokes just transition into the episode. So it's like,
wait, do your great jokes or your bad ones in the episode?
No, I both? Have bad jokes. I have bad jokes in the episodes, okay. But great jokes in the pre-show. Gotcha. And I have to be done with that. You know, you guys already know how great I am. So just have to transition that over into the episode for all the world to hear.
Oh, once again, John makes me nervous for the upcoming episode. It's a tradition at this point.
Thank you. I'm going to go so angry Jim Rome on you, Brian, it's going to be ridiculous.
Jordan made some good points, and that was cute.
Who, me?
Well, you're real handsome. Your eyes look real nice today in that jersey, Brian, tell you that right now.
And bring you some more devastation, and more knowledge, and more fun facts about
Did Jordan you just promise tonight? That we're going to go devastate all of our listeners?
Good evening, Packer Nation. Welcome back to another edition of Pack to the Future podcast. As always, I am your host, John Jameson, and I am a little bit disappointed with the Packers' Week 2 performance. A little bit in and out. Guys, I don't really even want to start talking about it, to be honest with you. I don't even know if I'm there yet. So I'm just going to cut right to the chase and just inform everyone of who is with us. We got Brian. We got Dusty.
What's up, John?
We got Jordan.
Hey.
Going back to Brian. What's up, Brian?
Man, I had to check the TV guide when I was watching that game on Sunday because that was indistinguishable for a while from that NFC Championship game last year. That made me want to drink beer.
Indistinguishable. Cool word.
Thanks, bro.
Oh, I mean, it was... Now that we've kind of opened up Pandora's box a little bit.
I've done
it. We had some injuries.
We did.
We had some questionable defensive play calls.
We did.
We had Rodgers on his butt every other second.
We did.
You want me to keep going? Cause I don't know.
I mean, you're the host, man.
I don't know how much further I can go with it before
I'm just the guy that writes the checks.
You are the dude that just writes the checks. And we appreciate the checks you send us, Brian.
Maybe someday I'll actually send one instead of just writing it.
I'm going to make you earn the most gigantic check that you write, which is for yourself every week. And
I'm not sure what that means.
I think it was a threat, Brian.
We're gonna be going on strike if we don't start getting equal pay around here. That's what that means.
Oh, we're all getting equal pay, trust me.
Brian, I have a trivia question for you this week, and I have Let's a trivia question for Dusty and Jordan. But we always start with you. And again, as I stated last week, stats don't count pre 1982, so it has to start in 1982. And
how did you pick this date?
It's just it's what all legit sports minds talk about. the question is simple. Since 1982, one defensive player has had more sacks than Clay Matthews. Can you name can you name that Packer?
Before I give a guess, I think we should stop doing Packers trivia for this segment and start doing John's life trivia. I feel like that would be way more interesting.
People don't need to know about my life.
Oh, they do. My guess, my life. One Packer, Kabir Bajabiamila.
That's a good guess. and it has been noted.
All right.
And now on. Dusty. Dusty, how are you doing after the week two performance of the Packers? And just how are you doing after a week of life since we've last talked?
Man, I'm doing okay. You know, I've learned over the past, actually, I think since I started writing about the Packers, it's been like 4 or 5 years. I've learned to kind of compartmentalize things, so I get really upset during the game, and usually by the next day I've learned to take as much emotion out of it as I can. So, you know, playoffs is still tough, but you know, week two loss, like I'm it stinks, but I'm over it at this point. Just kind of looking to see what they did wrong, what they can do better. So I'm as far as football goes, like I'm doing okay. That was a little disheartening, but I'm doing okay with that. Life is good, man. I'll talk about that a bit more a bit later. But yeah, it's busy, very busy at the moment. But hey, man, I'm talking to you guys. How could life be better than it is at this exact moment?
Answer, it couldn't.
That's correct. Brian wins the trivia for Dusty's boom. Life.
Don't even ask Jordan this week.
I think I needed to hear you oozing a little bit of confidence there, Dusty.
Did you have to say oozing?
Reminding myself that it is just week two, and that there's so much more football to be played. Mm-hmm. So much more.
So much more.
And Dusty.
Yes.
There's a trivia question waiting for you.
Awesome.
Do you need me to repeat it, which I will, since 1982, you know, the year that every legit sports mind views as the correct area to start stats.
I do now remember from the big sports mind meeting.
You weren't invited.
You weren't there. You weren't there.
I didn't see you there.
I watched the illegal live stream of it.
just John in his room by himself.
Yeah, that's
it. Was stellar stuff.
That is where the legit Einstein sports minds came together, and it was just me because I guess I am one of a kind. And I came up with this question from my sports mind. That says, hey, there's only one Packer that has more sacks since 1982, not named Clay Matthews. Who is that?
Yeah, I feel like this is a trick question because, like, Brian, I feel like I know this, and I feel like if I know it, then it can't be correct. So, yeah, I got to go KGB on this as well.
All right. You have also been noted, and you will find out your results very shortly after Jordan introduces himself.
Jordan's going to say somebody else, talk. And he'll be right,
I'm not gonna,
and we're all going to cry.
I'm not going to introduce him. So, Jordan, introduce yourself.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jordan. Hello.
Wow.
Inspiring.
That was
really good.
Awe-inspiring. Really good. Yeah. Awe-inspiring, and I couldn't have done it better myself.
I practiced in the mirror this morning. Thought it went really well.
you start off each class period introducing yourself, and I'd figure you'd be... You'd be a little bit better at it, Jordan.
Jordan's also been taking an improv class.
I know who you are.
My name is Jordan Peck. I'll be your teacher today. 2 months in! Knock it off!
As this is my third year teaching, I still love to introduce myself. It's all good, Jordan.
For anyone new, for anyone new in the room?
The same way.
In this class.
For anyone new in the room. Jordan, you are right now the king of trivia on this podcast, and you don't want to be dethroned because that would just be a sad day for you. So, with that being said, the question is being posed to you. Since 1982, there's one Packer who has more sacks than Clay Matthews. Who is that?
Well, the two guys that came to my mind were KGB and Reggie White, and I am fairly certain that KGB has more sacks as a Packer than Reggie White did. So I'm going to go with KGB as well.
Gentlemen, you are all winners in my book. Woo! And in the books of the intelligent sports minds of the world, because you all got it right.
My wife as a kid was almost run over by KGB.
What?
Was she an offensive lineman for the Bears? I don't understand this.
No, she was there for like a practice or something like that, and her brother dropped something in the street while all the players were driving away, and she, being a good big sister, like lunged out to grab whatever he had dropped, and this car comes within inches of her face. It stops, comes to a screeching stop and outsteps Kabir Bajabiamila.
And he apologized immediately, right?
Slapped her right in the face. Just right in the face.
Don't you ever reach in front of my car again.
You know who I am?
He had some sort of lisp, right? When he spoke,
I couldn't tell you.
Not that I'm aware of.
See,
his brother does not, so I assume that means he doesn't. I think it runs in the family.
Akbar,
I don't know.
Yeah, that's right.
If we can get confirmation on this one way or another,
Admiral Akbar.
Admiral Akbar,
that's a trap.
Admiral Akbar. If we can get confirmation on that at some point in the episode, that would make me happy. I might just look it up myself, but it's a big deal to me to find out if KGB had a lisp or not.
You could just tweet it to him now.
Yeah, maybe he'll call into our taped podcast.
Do you have, I know KGB have listens. Oh my gosh.
Mr. Bajabiamila, I know you're listening, so if you could either confirm John's craziness or just totally call him out for it, that would be great.
Oh my gosh. Sometimes I just sit back and give myself 5 seconds, and then I realize where the conversation has gone. And I'm like, wow, John, you did it again. You did it again, you old son of a gun.
And, you did it again, and you have nobody to blame but yourself.
Oh, it's awesome. But Brian, take this microphone away from me, please.
Gladly.
For the love of goodness.
Gladly. I will be hosting this week's coin tosses, which means that you will not be subject to my terrible, and I can't even call them hot takes. They're just that bad. Instead have to sit through John, Jordan, and Dusty, which I don't know if that's that much better, but it's a good consolation.
No, it is.
Yeah. All right. Our coin toss segment. You know how it works. We're going to pick a topic and we're going to toss a coin to see who defends which side of it. And I'm going to crack open another beer before we get started.
Ooh, cool sound effect.
I know. I'm really proud of that. I really am. Can you hear it pouring?
The coin isn't.
Oh, man, that's a killer Coors Light you got there, Brian. That's really
dude,
nice.
No. This is a dry dock vanilla porter because I don't drink urine.
Hey, nice NA push, bud.
There's a backstory there somewhere. All right, we're talking defense. Week one, they came out on fire. Week two, they got absolutely... They were not on fire, is the nice way to put it. So Jordan and Dusty, you're going to be debating week one versus week two performance. Which defense are we going to see going forward? And there is absolutely no room for middle ground. Got it?
Got it.
Good. Jordan, I'm going to flip this coin. If it is heads, you're going to say week one defense. If it's tails, you're going to say week two. It is heads, Jordan.
Which meant which one again?
So that means...
I was also
That means
confused.
Two things. One, that means you were not paying attention.
Usually, John says which one I have to do.
Oh, so John is your crutch, is what you're saying.
Oh, when I hosted last week, I also repeated it again. It's not a big deal or anything, Brian. Just do it
Goodness
correctly.
Goodness gracious. This is ridiculous. This is absolutely ridiculous. Jordan.
Yes.
You're saying that our defense is going to be very, very good and dominant going forward. Go.
Guys, I think our defense is going to be very, very good and dominant going forward.
Dusty, your rebuttal.
All right, let's get serious here, guys.
Now that's enough of the toying around.
We've lost Jameson.
It's time to get serious on this podcast. We've never been
deaf,
anything
dumb,
but blind
and stupid.
Again, there's a backstory there. Jordan, go.
All right. I do think, actually, and I don't even have to fake this. I really do believe that this was a blip in the radar. I think there's just certain times when certain teams just have your number. I think the defense that we saw in week one is more indicative of what we're going to see for most of this season. I think the pass rush we can get on better offensive line or on better offensive lines is going to improve as the year goes along. I think the injury to Mike Daniels in this past game just kind of threw the team for a loop. I can't remember the last time Daniels has been out. I don't remember that, and him going out so early in a big game like this. Couldn't have done much for the morale in that front seven, just having your leader on the sideline. So I think once Daniels comes back healthy, and assuming he stays healthy for the rest of the season, I like the chances of our front seven being able to get a lot of pressure on good quarterbacks and making it easier for our offense to keep pace and not just getting trounced by every good quarterback that we see. I do think there were good things that they did against the Falcons that they can build on with some still young guys in the secondary, namely Kevin Kane. And I think just going forward, it's week two. It's week two. You can't overreact that much. It's easy to, just because we saw what they did to us in the NFC Championship, and they did pretty much the same thing to us this week too. But I just think the Falcons have our number, and I don't think that's going to be indicative of what other teams are going to throw at us going forward in the regular season.
Dusty.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to believe that. I don't think they're as bad as it looked this past week. But the thing that concerns me about this, what they did this past week, is, yeah, they went up against a good offense, and they got killed. I mean, plain and simple. I mean, this was an 11-point game when the horn sounded, and it was nowhere near that close. This game was over when Rodgers threw that interception at the end of the first half, and then the Falcons took it in for a touchdown. And I mean, that was that. And the thing that concerns me about what happened this game is, it's not like the defense got gassed. I mean, they got beat out of the gate. Packers actually won time of possession in this game. Like, they had 31 minutes of possession. So it's not like, you know, offense was a lot of three and outs and quick hitting stuff, and then, you know, defense was still getting back out there or anything. Like, this was, offense was out there, defense was getting rest, defense was still getting murdered. And I get that the Falcons are a good offensive team, but to get blown out like this, even without Daniels, and we did see Matthews turn in a very good performance, but even a vintage Matthews performance just was not good enough. And we had, you know, Quentin Dial was out there, and Perry was healthy, and our cornerbacks were healthy, and safeties were healthy. We, like, one man, like, Daniels is really, really good. One man does not make this defense. Like, this is they got killed, and it was the same old stuff. It was guys out of position or guys not in a position to succeed, and you know, huge plays down the middle or huge plays late in the clock. Like, it was just, they were just getting murdered, and there was guys wide open. And I mean, that's been an issue for a long time, and it's concerning to see that. So I think they did run into a bit of a buzzsaw, but at the same time, I don't think they're as good as they looked in the Seattle game. I think giving up plays like this is going to be more indicative of what they're going to look like going forward.
So, guys, you know me. You know I am a baseball fan. One thing that drives me nuts about baseball is the culture of retaliation and pitchers hitting batters who hit a home run against them or gave them a funny look or anything like that. I don't think there's any room for it. In this podcast, however, there is room for it. And, Dusty, I feel like you totally screwed me out of 2 points last week in the coin toss, so I'm giving this one to Jordan.
No, those were, no, I You're thought welcome. About those. You were just bad last week. You were just really bad. That's not my fault.
That's not
Don't
the way
you put
I
that on
it.
Me. That's
and
on
I'm
you,
the
buddy.
Judge right now. So.
God, it hurts. Yeah. It does hurt.
Yeah. See how that feels? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't, it doesn't
That
feel
one
good.
Plunked you right in the ribs.
Yeah. Coming for your head next time, buddy. You watch out, Brian. This will not be forgotten.
Oh, things are going to get ugly. Stay tuned to Pack to the Future.
You gave a point to Jordan on purpose. You did that to spite me. I know what's going on.
This is what you have reduced me to.
That's
this
quite
is what you have
yeah.
reduced my career to. I just purposely helped Jordan. I feel dirty. We're going to take a quick break for me to go take a shower, and we'll get right back tomorrow. And we're back. All right. Next coin toss, we are going John against Jordan, so Dusty, take a moment to recover
from that. I'm just going to get another
Surely,
beer. I'm just grabbing another
Surely
beer.
Jordan can't get 2 points in a row. Surely.
Don't call me Shirley. Okay, John, Jordan, you're talking Jordy and Daniels, both of them slated to be game time decisions for this Sunday against Cincinnati. So my question to you is, if you had to pick one of them to be healthy and playing in this game, Jordy, a mainstay on the offense, Daniels, a mainstay on the defense, who are you picking? So, John, I'm going to flip this coin. If it is heads, you will be defending Jordy. If it is tails, you will be saying Daniels. And it is heads. So, John, you will be defending
Jordy.
Oh,
I don't need no crutch. I don't need no crutch.
John knows what's up. Goodness gracious.
I've only been doing this for way too long.
Oh my goodness. And, well, John's the early favorite to get the point in this round.
Hey, I'll take all the credit. I'll take all the extra credit I can get. But let's, guys, we have seen more of the Packers without Jordy than we've seen more of the Packers without Mike Daniels. And the Packers without Jordy Nelson, I don't know what it is. For some reason, they're just not the same team on offense. I don't know if it's I feel like I should have a better explanation as to why that's the case. But he just he honestly, it just seems like he means so much to this receiving core, and he is the dude that is Aaron's go to man. He always comes up with a big grab, and in all the prior games that we've seen the Packers without Jordy, the offense has never really looked the same without him. And like I said, there's no real kind of rap sheet as to the Packers without Mike Daniels. And it's just kind of proven that the Packers without Jordy aren't necessarily, they're not the same Packers.
Jordan.
Well, we didn't have Mike Daniels for pretty much the entire game against the Falcons. And I really do think it hurt more than maybe people realize or are saying. I just think he's got that much of leadership, that tenacity that we see every week, just adds so much to that crew. I think it makes guys play better around him. So I think we can put this game to bed pretty easily if we're able to get a consistent pass rush and stuff their three running backs this upcoming Sunday. Without Daniels, that gets a lot harder. The only way, in my opinion, just after watching Andy Dalton the first 2 weeks, the only way he's going to be any bit successful is if he has time. And he's got good enough receivers. He's got AJ Green. He's got Tyler Irvin. He's got guys that he can go to. And if he has the time, it's going to be it could get bad. It could get just frustrating for Packer fans at Lambeau on Sunday and Packer fans watching. So I think for this particular game, I think they can survive without Jordy Nelson. We saw Devonta Adams step up, even though the game was well in hand at the time. Became more of the target there, and having a week without Jordy, you can do some preparation to get some routes going for other guys, and the offense I think will be fine on Sunday. Whereas without Daniels, I'm not sure this defensive front seven is going to be able to be as effective as they need to be to make sure this game is an easy victory.
Well, John don't need no crutch, but he does need a point, so he's got it.
That's a nice one-liner. That is a nice one-liner, Brian.
He's been working on that all week.
I've been impressed with the interviews. I've been impressed with the hosting right now. Brian's really been giving you guys the whole nine yards this year. Let's give it up for Brian real quick, guys.
I'm not. I will never, literally never do that.
Can I just say one thing about one of Jordan's points? It's kind of irking at me a little bit. Giving some guys some time to find some routes, you know, in Jordy's absence. And we've seen this receiving core have some time, Jordan. All right. I don't even know if we can say that Devonta Adams is a true legit number one right now. And that's a hot take from me personally. But I don't know if you can honestly say that, because he struggles still without Jordy Nelson on the field. And that's kind of what I'm thinking. Jordy is so key to this offense.
What I will say,
so Jordan,
can I
take
respond?
Take it.
Let me just respond real quick. The spell that we didn't have Jordy for the year, we had no running game. That is different now. So I think
What has Ty shown yet? Yeah. What?
Are you serious?
Yes.
Yeah, John, I'll fight you. Can I join in? Because it's about to go down.
You cannot just look at the yards per carry. Ty Montgomery has been fine.
He has been fine, but is he the fix to the running game already?
I think it's a lot better than what you're making it seem, in my opinion.
All right, we're getting a bonus coin toss right now. Never before done before. Wow, never before have we had this, but here it is. Dusty
anymore,
versus
Brian.
Jordan. The coin toss is, do we start calling John Jameson now Skip Jameson or John Bayless?
You know, John Bayless has a pretty good ring to it. That's
I like
that's
I like
move.
It.
That's the move
I like
right
it.
There.
But, you know,
Jordan,
I'm more a Skip Jameson fan, to be real. I think that flows a lot better.
Hey, they both work, guys. I'm not trying to be like Skip Bayless. I'm just saying that Jordy Nelson means so much to this offense. And to be honest, Ty Montgomery, I have all the faith in the world in him, but he's not on like a put the team on the back on his back type runner yet to really get the job done. I mean, come on.
Well, the team is never going to be that though. The team is never going to be run first. It's can he do enough to have them sneak another man in the box to get that single high coverage, and I think he can. That's pretty much what it is. Like, he's never going to be he doesn't need to be rush for 120 yards every game. He's never going to be that guy. That's not what this offense is. I think he's shown enough, though.
And just another thing, too. I mean, the year we didn't have Jordy, also our tight end game was pretty weak. So yeah. that's different. Now, the tight ends didn't have a good game against Atlanta, but I don't think that's...
Bennett had a terrible game.
Don't you dare speak ill of Dick Rod.
I'll speak ill of him all I please.
Yeah,
keep running those flat routes, sucker. Keep running those.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. This has gotten away from me.
Rich Rodge did have a key drop, though.
I really liked that debate. That was good. All right. So, Dusty, you are returning, and you are up against Skip Jameson here. And we're talking Kevin King, first-round draft pick. Or not first-round, technically, but first draft pick we made this year. He came in, and he shut things down a little bit. He was targeted, I think, 4 times, allowing no receptions, had 1 pass breakup. He looked really good. So the question is Kevin King the man going forward? Is he your number 1 as of right now? And would you be putting him up against A.J. Green on Sunday afternoon? So, Dusty, yes. If it is heads, Kevin King is the man right now and always. And if it's tails, he is not. It's tails. He is not.
Kevin King is number 1 in my heart. Actually, that's not true. But he is very high on my list of guys I love on the defense. But I don't think he's ready for number 1 yet. He showed some stuff on Sunday. That was really, really promising. Some of his coverage on Julio Jones, Julio running across the field on a drag, that dude is fast, and King stayed with him on his hip when they tried to knock him off. Like, that's tough. That's stuff we've not really had. He's long, he can jam, but I still think he's raw. Like, he showed out this week, and that was awesome. He showed some stuff in week 1, and that was awesome as well. But I don't think he's ready to be that guy yet. I mean, one of the worst things you can do for a guy is you put him in a position to fail. You put him in a position he's not quite ready for yet. And then, you know, confidence gets killed. I think at this point you go with House as your main guy on the outside. You put Randall on the other side. And I think you just kind of work King in situationally, or you just work him in where you can. I think he can be that number 1 guy. I think he may be that number 1 guy by the end of this year. I just don't think he's there yet. The last thing I want to see at this point is to see him out there right now against a good wide receiver. AJ Green has not gotten going yet because Dalton is just a ball of hot garbage so far this year. But like, the last thing you want to see is go against a team at Lambeau that hasn't scored a touchdown yet this season and get roasted by a guy that you know can roast people. I think that would kill his confidence. I think that would kill any momentum that he's gained and any confidence he's gained so far. So I think he will be that guy. I don't think he's there yet. I don't want him to be that guy yet. I still think he has a little ways to go.
John, a word in edgewise?
I mean, I think Dusty had some... I think Dusty had some good points in all fairness. But let me just tell you this. The Packers have seen this defense before. Packer fans in general have seen this defense before. And this is not for the fans. This is about stirring up something in the defense and a little bit change of pace. And the only other person in my mind that could be the top cornerback in Green Bay is Devon House. And we've seen a small sample size of him back in Green Bay after his little stint with the Jaguars. And the 2 games that he's been back in, I mean, he has had some really nice tackles, but he's had no passes defended, and he has had some blown assignments. And what we saw out of Kevin King on Sunday night against any receiver he was up against, mainly Julio Jones a couple times, I think he had 2 pass defense two pass defenses and four balls thrown at him. I think it's just time for a changing of the tide. I don't know if old man Capers is gonna get behind that, but me personally, I think it's time for a change in that and give Kevin King an opportunity to establish himself. Let him learn and just become that number one, which we all know that he's going to be at some point. And I wanted to start in week three against the Bengals and shut down AJ Green, and the Packers get back on track and win this stinking football game. Let's go.
Well, Dusty, you spoke patience, so for that and as a sign of good faith that you will again give me points in the future, that round goes to you, baby.
You're like quite possibly, Brian, the worst judge we've ever had.
Oh, far and away.
Quite possibly.
Far and away. I won't.
But I'll take the point.
I won't try to rebut that at all. I'll
take the point.
I mean, I'm a terrible judge.
Hey, I got a chance to speak. To speak about the wondrous things of Kevin King, and I'm 100% fine. So, Dusty, congratulations.
Thank you, John.
I am a sore winner.
I think that means technically Jordan wins this one because I did go with Skip Jameson over John Bayless.
Oh,
he wins on percentage.
No,
he wins
that's on a bonus. 2 weeks in a row.
That's tiebreaker.
That's 2 weeks in a row.
It's a tiebreaker. Oh yeah, I went 2-0 last week.
I would feel Crushing bad, it. But Jordan's beard. I wish you guys could see it. It's so epic right now, and I love it.
What about my rant about getting the name Skip Jameson? Is that worth
it is
nothing?
Worth absolutely nothing. Yes.
Literally, no one was paying.
It's worth negative points. To be fair,
no. That was like around the horn. I went Woody Page and went down negative 30.
Yep.
Oh boy. That was it that bad?
It was pretty bad. Oh, maybe we should just move
on. I'll take the silence. I'll take the silence as well.
Oh no, John, it was fine. Everything was cool. It's fine.
Thanks, cool Dusty. Awesome.
You do get a participation.
We're gonna take
for this
a chance.
Episode. Don't worry.
Hey, that's what America's about, and that's
James,
what I'm about.
James Harrison hates you right now. He hates you so bad.
Let's get after it. To start redeeming the show a little bit, Brian had the opportunity to speak with Rebecca Toback of the Bengals SB Nation blog, Cincy Jungle. Ladies and gentlemen, for your listening entertainment, Brian Funfara with Rebecca Toback.
All right, everybody, I am here with Rebecca Toback of CincyJungle.com. Rebecca, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I am a little bummed about a loss, but could always be worse. Could always be worse.
Yeah, could be in our 0-2 boat.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Well, before we get into all the doom and gloom that we're sure to hit, why don't you take a minute to tell the good people a little bit about yourself and what you do at SB Nation.
Sure. So I am currently the NFL director at SB Nation, but have been running Cincy Jungle for a few years now. So I have been covering the Bengals and everything Cincinnati football for the last few years. And now I'm taking on a bigger role there, but still sticking to my Bengal fandom as well. And you can follow Cincy Jungle on Twitter at Cincy Jungle, and you can follow me on Twitter at Rebecca_Toback.
All right, so you mentioned your Cincy fandom. How frustrated do you feel at this point?
I think we're at peak frustration. This just is not at all the start that I think any Bengals fan anticipated. I think that we all thought the offensive line was going to be a real problem for the team and something that might hold them back from reaching their full potential. But to have zero touchdowns after 2 weeks and to just, I mean, it's been beyond terrible. I don't think that any, you know, worst nightmare could be as bad as what we actually have seen from the Bengals so far through 2 weeks. So the frustration is definitely at an all-time high for me as a Bengals fan.
Yeah. All right, so segueing on to what you expect to see on Sunday, are we going to see an 0-2 team that just, we have to face the fact, isn't very good, and they're running into a really good team in Green Bay, or are you expecting a team full of competition still and competitive drive, desperate to pull off an upset and save their season?
I think from a defensive standpoint, the Bengals' defense has been ridiculously good. They really do not deserve what the offense has given them so far. So in week one, they held the Ravens to 20 points, and it really they played better than holding them to 20 points. And then last week, holding the Texans to 13 points. So, I mean, when you hold the opposing team to 13 points, you should be winning. And the defense has played very well and deserves a lot better than what they've gotten from the offense. So I think from a defensive standpoint, they're still going to be competitive and trying their hardest and playing well. But I just really have no confidence at all in the offense to do anything respectable. So I don't really see this game being close. And even though, you know, often when a team fires its offensive coordinator or any coach, the players kind of rally behind the new guy to try and go out there and play well. But I just don't see a way that this Bengals team can get it together enough to come and play in a way that's respectable.
All right, so you already brought up the offensive coordinator. I don't even know if I can say his name right. Ken Zampese, is that it?
Yes, that is it.
All right, so they did fire him after two games with no touchdowns to start a season. Was he what wasn't going right? Was he the problem with this offense, or is he essentially just a scapegoat at this point?
I don't think that he was a scapegoat because he was a really big problem. He was a problem for all of last year, and so it really wasn't surprising that he was, you know, a problem again this year. I don't think he's the only problem. The fact that they let Andrew Whitworth and Kevin Zeitler, the team's two best offensive linemen, go in free agency, that obviously was going to cause a lot of problems when the Bengals' offensive line already wasn't good last year. They allowed the seventh most sacks in the league last year, and then you let your two best offensive linemen walk. So what do you think is going to happen? They didn't do anything to replace those players. They're just replacing them with guys who are already on the roster. So when that's the situation, I mean, the offensive line is probably the biggest weakness on the team. But Zampese also just wasn't creative. He wasn't getting it done. I mean, the whole thought process was that the Bengals were going to, like, spread it out more to hide the offensive line problems, but that just hasn't been seen in two games. And, I mean, beyond that, there was just so much – the offense looked so predictable. Like, I think that most fans feel they could be calling the plays better than he was, and – especially with the running backs. The Bengals have three very good running backs in Jeremy Hill, Giovanni Bernard, and Joe Mixon, and they were kind of just evenly splitting their carries, and that just wasn't working. No one was getting into a rhythm, and again, just it was beyond predictable. So I think a lot of the problems were on the offensive coordinator, and fans were unanimously happy to see him go, but he's definitely not the only problem.
All right, well, let's talk other problems, and we'll start at quarterback. I woke up to rumors over the past 2 days of some of the Cincinnati offensive players wanting the brass to bring in Colin Kaepernick. Do you think there's any validity to those rumors? Would he be an upgrade in your eyes? Would he do anything to right the ship?
No, I think that it's possible that one singular Bengals player mentioned out of frustration, like, oh, we should just sign Colin Kaepernick, he could do better, probably jokingly. I do not think that there is any chance that the Bengals are at all considering Colin Kaepernick. I know that one of the radio guys for the team, Dave Lapham, who is also a player for the Bengals, he completely called out Mike Florio, who created this rumor, and said that it was completely unprofessional for him to go on the record saying this and that there's no chance that any of it was true. So I think the team is going out of its way to make sure that people know it's not true and that, you know, there's literally zero chance that any new quarterback is coming onto the roster or to threaten Andy Dalton. He is the starter. They're not moving on to AJ McCarron. So I think for now and for the very foreseeable future, Andy Dalton is going to be starting, and hopefully he gets his game together, because this just isn't the quarterback that we've grown to see over the last 6 years. Now he's in his seventh year. You think that you would know what's going to be happening and what to expect from him, and this just is so far from what we expected from him this year. So, I mean, he's no Aaron Rodgers, but I think, you know, we know what he is, and he has been a serviceable quarterback who can get the team to the playoffs, and so far this year, that's just been very far from what we've seen, and he's very far from the quarterback that got the Bengals to the playoffs for 5 years in a row.
All right, let's talk head coach. Personally, I've been wondering for years why Marvin Lewis is still the head coach in Cincinnati, and I haven't, I don't know, living in Milwaukee and then Denver, you don't meet a whole lot of Bengals fans, so I don't get too many opportunities to ask this, but what's your stance on Marvin Lewis and him still being the head coach after all these years of no serious competition for a Super Bowl?
Yeah, so I think that the Bengals are just one of the most loyal franchises in the league. So when they fired the offensive coordinator earlier last week, that was the first time they've ever fired an offensive coordinator or any coordinator in the middle of a season. That's just like not something they do. They're so loyal to their coaches. Almost everyone is hired from within and promoted from within. And the same goes with the players, really. Like, there are just so many guys on the team who have been there forever who could be cut, but they just stick with the team because the franchise is very loyal to those employed by the team. So I think, you know, Marvin Lewis has gotten the Bengals to the playoffs 7 times and 5 times in the last 6 years. And after the whole horror of the 90s with the Bengals just being the worst team in the league so frequently, I think that kind of unfortunately is enough for the ownership. And, you know, fans obviously hate that and don't think that the owner, Mike Brown, wants to win enough. But that I kind of feel like they are just very loyal to Marvin Lewis, love him and trust him. And for that reason, he's stuck around. But he currently is coaching out the final year of his current contract. So I think that if what we've seen so far continues, there's no chance that he is back next year. And I think the whole thing is they didn't want to fire him and have never wanted to fire him. So they won't need to fire him this year if he just, you know, ends his contract and he moves on and they move on. So I think that so far from what we've seen, that looks like it's a likely case. But if somehow they turn it around, then maybe he'll get extended at the end of the year. But I think Bengals fans are very ready to move on. And whether or not Mike Brown wants to, he might have no choice after this season.
Fair enough. All right. Well, let's move on to this upcoming game. How do you see Sunday going down? What's going to happen? Who's going to win? Give us your final score prediction, all that jazz.
So I think the Bengals are hopefully going to get their first touchdown of the year. That would be, you know, maybe that's like goal number one, score some points. So I would really like to see that and hope that with 10 days and a new offensive coordinator, they figure out how to get that done. It would be great to see maybe Joe Mixon have a breakout game and finally, you know, make some noise. But at the end of the day, I really don't see the Bengals making enough of a recovery in the 10 days since they will have last played and with a new offensive coordinator to win against the Packers. And I mean, even though I don't know what you guys are thinking on your end, but the offense hasn't been as high powered as maybe you were used to. But I still think that with Aaron Rodgers, it'll be pretty easy to get the job done against what we've seen from the Bengals offense in putting up points. So I would maybe go 24-10 with the Packers winning.
That would complete the around the league for Aaron Rodgers. This is the last team that he has not beaten.
Yeah.
I'd say it's about that time. I'm sure you disagree, but I say it's time.
I don't know if the time is right for Bengals fans, but I do see it happening. So I would feel pretty confident in that happening on Sunday.
All right, Rebecca, thank you so much for taking the time and joining us.
Thank you. Have a good rest of your season.
With a splendid rendition of with a great interview Brian just did with Rebecca Toback of Cincy Jungle. We will now resort back to Packers talk, focusing on this week's game at home against the Cincinnati Bengals. Jordan, what do the Packers have to do to beat the Cincinnati Bengals on Sunday?
All right, I'm going to go with one key from each aspect of the team, special teams, offense, and defense. In order of least importance to most importance for this week, starting with special teams. The Cincinnati Bengals actually have a pretty decent return game. A couple good returners in Alex Erickson, throwed up for University of Wisconsin, and Pac-Man Jones had very good games against the Houston Texans. The key to an upset, which is what it would be if the Bengals beat the Packers this Sunday, are special teams, big plays on special teams, and these guys are capable of it. They need to be contained. I think it's safe to say you can't really punt to these guys. Even Alex Erickson last year, there are multiple games, multiple returns. This guy has a knack for making big plays, so you cannot give him the opportunity to do so. So that's one key. Second key is this: our front seven needs to take advantage of the offensive line. They were abused by the Houston Texans front seven, albeit a very good front seven. When you talk about J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney, I think they got three sacks, held the running game down, got after Dalton quite a bit. What happens with our front seven as well. So Mike Daniels or not, we need Clay Matthews to play like he did this past Sunday. Healthy Clay Matthews we're seeing is a very effective Clay Matthews. So I'd like to see that continue. So you cannot give Dalton time in the pocket. If we do that, I don't see the Bengals scoring many points at all this Sunday. And third, we kind of talked about this a little bit before it went on the air, but in my opinion, you got to get the running game going a little bit more. They did, and when you're down, I guess against the Falcons, you got to throw the ball. But they did give up on it a little bit, in my opinion, against the Falcons. I think they could have stuck with Montgomery, given him a few more carries, given Jamal Williams a few more carries, a little better balance. I think will help our. Help our cause against this Bengals defense. So those are my three keys: running game, getting after their offensive line, and limiting their returns in the kick game.
Do you have a final score prediction for what's going to happen on Sunday, Jordan, against the Bengals at 3:25? Tony Romo's he's doing the game at Green Bay too.
I'm so here for that.
I did not know that. That is news to me. That's fantastic.
It's going to be amazing.
Wait, if they're covering it, I wonder if it's gonna be on TV here. I'm gonna have to check that out. Anyways, score prediction. I do not see this Bengals team being able to put up a lot of points, regardless of what people think about our defense. I think their offense is just really, really bad. I don't think Andy Dalton is a very good quarterback at all, and I think that's gonna render itself again in week three. I'd be shocked if the Bengals got into the 20-point range. So I'm actually going to pick Packers 30, Bengals 13.
30-13. I will take that. And Dusty,
hey,
does Tony Romo correctly predict 30 plays in this game? We'll find out in the number section.
So here's my question on Tony Romo, and I guess I'll find out this Sunday as well, because I've seen some highlights and clips of him calling the plays and stuff, which is super, super interesting. Especially, I mean, the pressure stuff you can kind of see, mm-hmm. but him calling like the direction the plays are going is super interesting. Does he explain why he? The only explanation I heard was him saying like, "I just played lots of football." Like, does he actually explain why?
I don't think he's gotten too much into that. It's more of just
because that's what I want. It's cool that he does that, but as a former player, like recent former player, I kind of want him to be like, this is why I thought they were doing this and this. That's cool that he's calling it, but at some point it's just showing off and not explaining why it is.
I don't think there's enough time for him to really do that in a broadcast, though. Like, if he did a podcast.
You come out of the break, you can do like one play coming out of a break or something, or for a timeout. This is why I thought this was going left. Like, just, you know, one play a quarter even. Like, I'd be down for that. From what I've heard, like, he seems fine. Just a little annoying. He's like, this play's going to the left. And then he doesn't tell you why. Like, just explain to me why.
Tony Romo doesn't seem like the guy that would show off, to be honest.
He is from Burlington, Wisconsin, and he can do what he wants.
I always like Tony Romo as a player. He seems like a decent human being. Just explain something. Just don't be a jackass. That's all I ask.
He dumped Carrie Underwood. He's
hasn't
a moron.
Come across to me as jackassly, to be fair. But
well, whatever. But anyway, that's my number segment. Back to you.
There will be okay, one. So can I just say one thing?
You can.
Would have loved for Jay Cutler to have been doing this exact thing. Like, watch Jay Cutler do a broadcast and him predict everything correctly. That would have just confused everybody watching the game.
It would have done
that'd be
oh,
way
yeah,
better.
Opposite.
Gosh.
That'd have been, no, but imagine
watch,
if
this safety's
going to
go up
right
over the top and then he'll undercut the route and get a pick six, like every single time. That well, that explains a lot.
I'd watch every color called game every
single
time.
Did you guys see the clip of him trying a Hail Mary? And it went like 20 yards out of bounds.
My favorite clip and the most Jay Cutler thing I saw was when the game-winning field goal was kicked with no time remaining, and he smiled slightly and turned away and started walking away. That was just tremendous. Like, there was barely any mirth on his face. He could not have cared less. It killed me.
I may be the only one in this crew. I may be the only one in this crew. But did you guys find yourself rooting for Jay Cutler this weekend to beat San Diego? Because I found myself rooting for Miami.
I am here for
did.
Jay Cutler.
I don't know
Dolphin.
Why either.
For sure.
Yeah, I am too. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'll jump on that.
I don't want him to see. I don't want to see him win a Super Bowl or anything. But I'd love to see him lead that team to the playoffs.
I mean, he's no Brock Osweiler,
and then just crush them. I think that'd be terrific. Brock Osweiler. I thought we were done with Brock Osweiler.
Dusty, say some numbers now.
We were done. All right, so John laid into me a little bit after my lackluster performance last week, so I'm going to try to get into it a little bit this week. So
you're welcome, guys.
I've got a handful of things to bring up. Guys, listen, I have got a beautiful, beautiful 2.5-year-old daughter. She was born in June of 2015, which means she has been alive through two full NFL seasons now, plus the start of this one. Which has been awesome. So I decided to start there as my touch point. So since the start of 2015, I'm going to do a little word association with you guys. When I say Blake Bortles, what do you think? Brian, first word that comes to mind. Blake Bortles.
Interception.
John.
Fred Jackson.
Jordan.
Central Florida.
Okay. I like Brian's, that's good.
I wanted to say throwing the ball from beyond the line of scrimmage, but you said one word. So
since my daughter has been alive, she has seen Blake Bortles account for 60 total touchdowns. 60. That's good. You know, he picks him up in garbage time, but whatever. Since my daughter has been alive, that same time period, Dalton has gone for 50 touchdowns. Now, we all know that Blake Bortles is just a rubbish quarterback. Just like... He looks like he's 40 years old. He can't read a defense to save his life. He's got good weapons and he can't do anything with them. Like, Dalton's been worse. And Dalton has one of the better wide receivers in the game to throw to. So, I thought that was interesting. That in the past 2 years, Bortles, more touchdowns than Dalton. And kind of going along with the wide receiver stuff, AJ Green's great. AJ Green is really, really good. AJ Green is one of the top 10 wide receivers in the league. But he also happens to play with Andy Dalton, and he's been terrible this year, and it's because of Andy Dalton. So far, over two games, one of the things Andy Dalton loves to do is just force balls to AJ Green and just hoping that he'll come down with them. And then, you know, sometimes he does, and sometimes he gets killed. Through two games, is 18 attempts to AJ Green over two games. He likes to force him the ball. So it's 9 attempts per game. His QB rating when thrown to AJ Green this year, 40.7.
Ooh.
40.7. He's completing 56% of his passes, 0 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. So, I mean, that's I like to make fun of Andy Dalton, and I will continue to do that with these numbers. But what this shows to me is he's been bad, and he's been forcing the ball to Green. But Green is also going to get his chances, so he's going to take his shots. And if this Packers defense is confused for a play or two, or doesn't get a guy back, or whatever. They're going to go to Green, and he has the possibility to burn them. So even though these numbers are bad for Dalton Green so far, it's showing that he's going to go to him, so they need to watch out, and that's where he's going to go. Let's see, what else do I got? Oh, yeah, so far this season, Andy Dalton. So Andy Dalton, coming out of college, he had a terrible arm, like a really, really terrible arm. They say he can't throw a deep ball, but he can throw a short ball. And after watching him for a very, very long time, like, he's not accurate throwing short. And this year, his QB rating when throwing short, 44.4.
Wow.
When throwing within 15 yards of a line of scrimmage. Like, he's been really, 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 really bad. They're averaging 4.5 points a game this season. That offense is terrible. Like, the defense is good. That offense is terrible. Andy Dalton's part of it. The fact that they've gotten two new tackles is part of it. But all those stats to tell you, yeah, they're bad. Like, his completion percentage this year, so far, 31st in the league. That's terrible. He's bad. I'm going to go with Packers 27-9 is my final score, which means that's three straight games. Bengals start three straight games this season without a touchdown. And people start to, hey, is Andy Dalton actually bad? The answer is yes, Andy Dalton's actually bad. He's been bad. He's not a good quarterback. Back to you, John.
Oh, Dusty, that was amazing.
Is that okay? Was that better?
That was okay. That was on point per use. Dude, you just kept Loved ripping it. On Dalton. And it's so well, well deserved.
I'll take every one of those.
He's just bad.
He's really bad.
It's so awesome.
He's really bad.
It's so true. I already hear the Bengals fans are calling for McCarron like right away. It's crazy. So And like you said, he has AJ Green. Why if you have a player like that, you shouldn't be a bad quarterback. Just throw him the ball every freaking time.
He does.
But Brian, Brian, do you have a final score prediction and anything to add about the Bengals game this upcoming week?
Yes, John. First, I want to say a little bit about week two, and I just want to urge everybody to just calm down a little bit because it is only week two. And yes, we got beat down, but we got beat down by probably the best team in the NFC right now at their stadium where they were just opening up, so they came in hyped. They were ready to go. It was a good defense we were up against. It was a good offense we were up against. A lot went wrong. A lot of it was execution on our end, but let's just calm down just a little bit. And I will say the one thing that really did get under my skin was, and again, I'm not here to call for Dom Capers' job because, again, it's only week two, but he started this game with Randall lining up in man coverage on Julio Jones, one-on-one. And that absolutely blew my mind that after a week of preparation, is what he thought was the best course of action, was one-on-one Randall versus Jones. Well, then he puts in King because Randall just got burned time and time again. King does a good job. Later in the game, I saw Randall again, one-on-one against Julio Jones. And again, it blew my mind, even more so than the first time. So that, I just couldn't believe what I was seeing at that point. Moving on to this game, the only thing that concerns me as far as their offense against our defense is the fact that they did fire their offensive coordinator after two games without a touchdown. And there's usually that honeymoon period where the offense is going to look pretty decent for a bit before coming back down to earth once teams have some film on what the new offensive coordinator is going to do. But at the same time, as Dusty just pointed out, this offense is really bad. This offensive line is really bad. AJ Green hasn't been particularly good. Dalton has been an abomination. It's just been really, really bad. I am going to go with something similar to Dusty. He actually stole my scoreline, but I am going to go 27-6. And yes, I am with Dusty. They will not score a touchdown 3 weeks into the season.
Very, very. I like the fact that we are predicting the Packers offense to kind of show up on Sunday. And I'm going to predict them to show up a little bit too. And I'll go Packers 38.
Ooh,
I like that.
Ooh.
Bengals 10.
There it is. My thought on the offense,
get this thing
turning
going.
Things around, and we all did pick something like that. We've gone up against two really good defenses and have still actually had pretty decent production, even if they've looked out of sync. And that's kind of the new norm almost in the NFL, that teams are resting their main starters in preseason games and they're not putting them out there for 6 to 7 quarters like they used to. They just don't have the time to get into a rhythm. And you've seen signs of them being in a rhythm against two good defenses. And, you know, they're back at home. They looked like they were a little bit better, I think, this week than last week. And they'll look a little bit better again.
Let us hope so. And, yep. Brian, just keep it rolling with your final thought this evening.
Well, I kind of moved my final thoughts about last week up to that segment, but man, that really is all I had prepared. Just be calm. Let's just have fun, man. There's 14 teams that we're about to play.
R-E-L-A-X.
That's it. Like, there's 14 teams that we're about to play through the rest of this year that we can beat, and they're good teams, but man, like, I still stick with my prediction of 12-4, 13-3 being very realistic for this team. So let's all just take a deep breath and let this season unfold a bit before we start calling for this head and that head. Having said all that, you can find me on Twitter at @PTTF_Brian. You can find us at @PTTF_podcast. And for all of your Packers news and pregame and postgame needs, make sure you're checking out packtothefuture.com.
And grab one of our shirts on that website while you're at it, yes, too, sir. Please. That'd be cool. That'd be cool. And Dusty, what's your final thoughts this evening?
Man, listen, so I've got five, but some of them are short. I actually added like two or three since we started the podcast, and one just because I forgot to add it into my stats section. So we'll start off, as I like to do, with the cheapest tickets of the week. Our cheapest tickets, guys, believe it or not, Thursday night game. Thursday night game, you can see the Rams, the LA Rams, at the San Francisco 49ers for $13 American. $13, you can see Jared Goff, who has not been but, face off against Brian Hoyer, who has been but, on Thursday night in a brand new stadium. You can get their, I don't know, brie on crackers or whatever the devil they're selling out there at the concession stand. The fancy new Niners. I mean, that Niners stadium looks cool. And the thing is, they talk about how it'll absolutely cook you on one side of the field if you're there during the day. Listen, dude, it's Thursday night. You're not going to get that sun.
There it is.
You're not going to get murdered by the sun. You're not going to get a sunburn. It's not going to be 100 degrees in those seats. You can go. You can relax. You can watch a game that may or may not be terrible for $13. That's not bad. That game is going to be terrible. It's going to be terrible. You can go for $13. So I looked up, we were talking KGB early. And so I looked up Akbar Bajabiamila, because on Pro Football Reference, they have they have nicknames, right? Like, they've got the nicknames of the player. His nickname is not the Admiral, and I'm furious. I am furious about it.
Is there anything on Pro Football Focus about which players do or do not have lisps?
No. I mean, I think that's the $200 package, and I do not have that.
Oh, yeah, so, I got you.
They might, but that might be on the American Ninja Warrior site. I'm going to have to check that sucker out, I guess. But, yeah. It's a missed opportunity that he wasn't nicknamed the Admiral. I understand that goes too. That's David Robinson's name. I get it, but it's a different sport. I feel like he should have taken
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Like, I'm here with you.
Number three, a stat I forgot to include. But that Bengals defense, through two games, not a single offside or 12 men on the field penalty. So don't count on one of those. But they do have three defensive pass interference penalties through two games. So maybe get a freebie. You know, maybe send Trevor Davis on a fly and chuck him the ball and just see what happens. So that's that. Number four, man, that Adams touchdown catch. How bonkers awesome was that Devontae Adams touchdown catch? Like, Rodgers put
you,
it pylon. On a line, oof, on the sideline. Adams kept his foot in bounds, kicked the pylon, and stayed in. Like just propelled himself back in bounds.
Beautiful.
I know it was out of reach at that point. I know it didn't really mean much, but that was a gorgeous throw and a catch. Just a great play. Just a great play. And for my last final thought, guys, I bought a house.
Woo!
I bought a house. We closed on a house last Friday. I worked all through the weekend. Man, the deck was a mess, so I spent all weekend with my dad bracing the deck, replacing a bunch of stuff so we can sit out there now without it collapsing. We had family over, ripped down walls, ripped up flooring, painted, put up drywall, did just anything you can hope. It's still probably about 3 weeks before we move in, but dude, I guess we ripped out a closet. So it's technically now 5 bedrooms, 3 bathrooms on 1/2 acre. Guys, at some point, I'm having all you guys out, and we're going to do a Pack to the Future, just a weekend, just a retreat, just a lovely little weekend, and we're going to watch some football, and it's going to be awesome. So I'm hoping to move in soon, hopefully within the next month, hopefully we're moving in. I'm hyped. I'm hyped. It's been a long time coming, so I'm very, very excited.
Super Bowl party at Dusty's.
Yes. Are you done in the hype by chance, Dusty?
Done in the hype? Is that something like the young kids say?
I think that's one of those like rapper thing, terms.
It's cool.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really care for Drake, so
oh my goodness.
I guess.
Same way you don't care for Derek Jeter.
We don't talk about Drake on this podcast.
I don't
this is an anti Drake podcast.
I'm gonna say this very clearly. I'm going to say this once. I hate Derek Jeter. I hate him. I hate everything he stands for. I hate his play on the field. I hate the way people talk about him.
I hate the way you're talking
Dusty,
right now.
Dusty, here we go. Here we go. Face. I have a coin toss for you. You have to have dinner with either Yankees legendary shortstop Derek Jeter or current Chargers tight end Hunter Henry. Who we have heard about your hatred for.
Hunter Henry.
You say Hunter Henry. You have to look at his face that entire dinner.
That's fine. I put a paper bag on his head or something. I thought you were going to say Peyton Manning, and I was going to be in.
That's a good one. All right, I'm going to change it. Peyton Manning or Derek Jeter. You have to pick one.
I invite them both to dinner. And I set a bomb on it.
Watch your next words. No! No!
He's going to pull a Valkyrie on Jeter and Manning.
That's right. I'm going to go to the bathroom. I'm going to lift up the toilet. There's going to be a taped revolver in the tank. I'm going to go live in Sicily for a while. It's going to be lovely.
And that's Dusty, ladies and gentlemen.
You teach a woman how to drive.
And
Dusty, what restaurant are you at for this?
Huh?
Are you to Papa John's?
Yeah.
Are you to Papa John's for the second?
If only Curly's Pub was still a thing.
Oh. Luigi. Yeah. Luigi Vicardello's.
I got a couple places in town. If I can get him to Lexington, I got a couple places in town. I could probably pull this
out. All right. There you go. Well, let's move on from the murder.
That's probably a smart idea.
I feel like that's the right course of action.
Dusty, do you have any more stupid final thoughts?
No, all my final thoughts were very smart and awesome, so I don't know what you're referring to, John.
They were all smart and awesome, and I actually opened a Pandora's box, so I'm sorry.
She doesn't go back in the box. She only comes out, John.
You should apologize for your comments about Derek Jeter, but I'll let it slide this time. Yeah. And Dusty Evesley, do you have a Twitter handle?
I do. It's Dusty Evesley, except the S is silent, at Twitter.com.
And invisible.
Or Twitter.com. Just as invisible. It's at Dusty Evesley. Oh, this beer is strong tonight.
Oh, no.
Jordan, please talk to me.
So, in regards to Derek Jeter, but do you remember that one time he ran across the field and then tossed it to the catcher? And he got Jeremy Giambi out?
Yeah, except he didn't actually apply the tag. The replay shows he never actually tagged him. Giambi should have been safe. That play? You're referring to that play?
That's the one.
No, he got tagged.
He did not.
Debatable. Debatable.
Punch all of you. You're not invited to my house anymore.
It was a tag.
All right. So that was one final thought. Second final thought. Earlier this afternoon, I was watching an episode of Chopped because it's a horrible sports night. And the guy from Sopranos, Michael Imperioli, was on.
Oh, Christopher.
On an episode of Chopped. And he did the cardinal sin, guys. It came dessert round, and guess what he did? The one thing you can't do. You guys should know this. I've mentioned this before.
Ice cream.
He made ice cream. You cannot make an ice cream on Chopped.
No ice cream. No ice cream.
For someone that has never seen an episode of Chopped, why can you not make an ice cream?
Because this is the thing. So you're once you get to the dessert round, it's just you versus one other person. There are two other contestants that have been chopped, a la the name. So therefore, there are just two guys at the end. So whenever you try to use the ice cream machine, the ice cream machine is a very fickle thing. First of all, the strawberries was a secret ingredient. He didn't chop the strawberries up enough. So he has big strawberry chunks trying to get it into an ice cream machine. It didn't happen. So there's just a big mess at the ice cream machine. The texture wasn't good. It just was a disaster. It never works at the ice cream machine on Chopped.
So you can't make an ice cream because the machine is broken?
the machine is not a good machine, and also
why
two,
don't they get a new machine?
McDonald's after 10.
It's the chopped set. It's the chopped set. It's just what's there. But
they're making a team. They don't have enough money. A cooking show doesn't have enough money to get a new ice cream machine.
Well, not only that, they only put one ice cream machine on the show. So, like, if one person makes an ice cream and the other person wanted to make an ice cream,
they can't afford two ice cream machines.
I think they're just trying to add to the drama. But that being said, you guys know what's going.
Classic ice cream drama.
Into it, that the ice cream machine doesn't work. You can't do it. So I was like, oh, Christopher, I can't do it, man. Tony's gonna come after you again.
I can't.
Slasher
get
movie's
this.
Never gonna work.
There's this golden rule that
work.
You can't make ice creams, but the reason is that ice cream machine doesn't work. I can't
well,
get past
the golden rule.
Another reason too is sometimes when they make the ice cream and then they plate it. I mean, think about it. You're plating it and you're taking it to the judge. There's a time gap in there. So the ice cream can start melting. So if it gets to the judges and it's soupy, I mean, what would you say if you got soupy ice cream?
Well, how bad are you at making ice cream if the entire thing is soup and there's no, like, scoop left?
I mean, how bad you are making ice cream. It's the nature of ice cream.
Well, but there would still be some scoop shape left. Like, it wouldn't be just this entire bowl of soup.
Are we allowed to mute Brian? Can we mute him?
Remember, too, you only have... You only have 30 minutes in the dessert round with four
secret
ingredients.
I wish I had the master control panel.
It's not in the ice cream machine for very long.
I don't get it. Just get a new ice cream maker.
So anyway, I'm with you. I mean,
I
don't get it.
Food Network, you can tweet at us.
Welcome to Pack to the Future, where we break down a little bit of Packers football, but mostly cooking shows.
Anyways, so those are my final thoughts. I have nothing else, John.
I actually have a question. Does Brian know what ice cream is? Like, does he know like the properties of ice cream? Brian, do you understand the properties?
Yes, I understand.
Of ice cream,
but about, like, the way Jordan made it sound was that like in this minute and a half between finishing the ice cream and handing it to a judge,
it's
it would
not
all be
a
melted
minute and a half.
It's not a minute and a half. You got like I've never watched the show, but you got like a half hour to do it, right? Which means like you have to finish it at a half hour exactly and then make sure they get it within 2 minutes. Like that's not going to happen because it's still going to be a little bit soupy no matter what you want to do. It's still
a little bit soupy, but there would still be scoops that they
Plus,
can spoon something
you're
out of.
You're under like hot studio lights.
Is there no freezer on the set of a cooking show?
No, there is.
What?
But again, you take it, you can't put it in there waiting for the judges. Once you put it on the plate, you can't touch
it
anymore.
I don't get
it. Once at 30 minutes, hands off.
I don't get it. I mean, Jordan's got a good point. Just don't make ice cream.
Just don't make ice cream. That's really all I'm trying to say.
I'm fine with there being a golden rule of not making ice cream, but I'm just not buying into the reasoning. That's all.
Well, I just...
By the way, you can find Jordan on Twitter at ice cream, you scream, we all scream for ice cream. And
that one really got out of hand. Holy cow.
And I will transition this into my final thought, which is hopefully a little bit more collected and more calm in nature than the other three final thoughts you just heard. And my sense of calmness comes from the fact that the Brewers right now sit 1.5 games back of a wild card spot. And I know this is not my first time talking about my Milwaukee Brewers, but the fact of the matter is we were not supposed to be talking about them in late September, guys. And they are still being talked about. They are still in a race. This team is just continuing to just throw out all the expectations and just create new boundaries, new areas to walk in for themselves. You lose Jimmy Nelson, arguably your best pitcher, the second half of the season, to a season-ending injury, and there's been no slip, only an uptick in the amount of games won and the amount of games,
You can do it.
Come on, the amount of games that we have come in back into the race with. There's a specific word for that, and I knew that I could do it, but it was just right there.
You can find John Jameson.
Just right there. Jordan, if you say one more word out of your mouth, I swear the next time I see you, I'm gonna melt some ice cream in front of your face.
Oh my goodness.
We have just been the talk of the town. We're the bell of the ball right now, and I hope that the baseball universe right now is applauding the Milwaukee Brewers and what they've been able to accomplish this season. And I hope that you guys are ready to applaud the Green Bay Packers on a triumphant return from a game that we're all just going to put in the rearview mirror, forget about, and focus on winning out the rest of the games, RELAX, and just run the table, and we're good to go. You can find me on Twitter at John Jameson. You can find all of us on Twitter at some Twitter handle. And guys, come back for more Pack to the Future, as always. Like I said, again, I'm going to preach this message to you one more time. Go buy some shirts from us. They're actually really cool. And go check out all of our writers. Go check out our other podcasts that we got going on. They're always doing cool stuff. And check back in next week for some more rock hard knowledge of the green and gold. Go Pack, go. Adios. Go Pack, go.